way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. And she felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, hurtful whisper. There's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sins that had me bound. And I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. But now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. His feet with my tears and dry them with my hair, you weren't there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. No, you don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster.
Happy Mother's Day Sabbath. That was absolutely beautiful, wasn't that? What a blessing. It truly is a privilege and an honor, and I'm very humbled to stand before you today on this very special day of Mother's Day Sabbath and also Women's Ministry Sabbath. And it actually makes it even more special because my parents are here today as well. the most beautiful gift that I could ever give my mom and dad is the gift knowing that Jesus is more precious to me than anything else in this entire world. And that all their labors to lead me to Jesus has been successful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you today as your daughter, and I just ask that you hide me behind you, dear Lord, and that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you will fill this place with your Holy Spirit, and each one that is here, that everyone will be touched, and that no one will leave here the same as they came, that we will all leave here changed by you, dear Lord, to be drawn closer to you, to where we sit at your feet, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe within every heart of every little girl that Jesus has placed a sense of royalty and wanting to be a princess and wanting her prince to come. To whisk her off to some beautiful castle far away where she will live happily ever after. And as we grew up and became women, we still wanted to be a princess. But along the way, the thorns of life wounded us, and our dreams of being a princess began to fade away. And we were led to believe that this was a fairy tale. But ladies, I want to tell you today, and gentlemen, this is not a fairy tale. This is a true story, because we are daughters of the Most High King, the Most High King of the universe. And each one of us, ladies, is a princess. Each one of us is royalty because we are daughters of God. King Jesus will come and rescue us. He will come and whisk us off to a beautiful castle to live happily ever after. When I was a little girl, I felt like I wore a crown. Something deep within me felt like I was royalty. I always had expensive tastes and liked the finer things in life. And later on in life, I wanted to be famous. I used to say to myself jokingly, I think that the stork dropped me off at the wrong house. It was nothing that my parents did bad or wrong. It was because my family did not live the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Instead, they took me to church each Sabbath and taught me about Jesus. I did not understand at the time that the feelings I had nothing to do with money and earthly materials, but had to do with being a daughter, a princess of the King. He had placed a sense of royalty as his daughter within me and placed his crown upon my head, symbolizing that I was his. But as I grew up and life happened, instead of staying close to Jesus, I ventured away and lost my crown. But praise be to God that King Jesus came and rescued me, and he placed his crown back upon my head and said, Jeanne, you have and always will be my princess. As you remain at my feet, your king will come and take you away to a beautiful place far away where you will live happily ever after. Oh, how I long for that day to see Jesus face to face. In all of his glory, my heart and soul thirsts and longs for that. And I pray today as you listen to this message that your heart, your soul will thirst after God. Whether you are a man or a woman, since this message is geared more towards women today, but all are included because Jesus loves you and we are sons and daughters of God. Amen? You see, God yearns to share a life of beauty, intimacy, and adventure with each one of us.
He has placed this desire of beauty, intimacy, and adventure in the heart of every woman, man, boy, and girl. This is the abundant life that God talks about in His Word and wants to share with us. And we can only experience this life with God if we are daily sitting at the feet of Jesus. And by sitting at His feet, we will become changed. Praise God. Who needs to be changed? You don't have to raise your hands. But every one of us needs to be changed. We all need to have the character of Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the life of Mary. And I just love how she sat at Jesus' feet many times in her life. And we're going to see how Jesus changed her life forever and what that means for us today. If you turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11, John chapter 8, we see the story here of Mary being caught in adultery and thrown before Jesus at His feet in the temple. Probably none of us can even imagine how humiliating that would be. But just think if Jesus was here right now, and just think if there was a bunch of people here right now like there is, and all of a sudden the door opens, and there's a group of elders coming in, and they have this woman who's barely dressed and all frumpled looking, and they drag her down to the front here while we were having church, and they throw her at Jesus' feet. Just think how embarrassed she must have been, how humiliated she must have been. Just think if that was you, how you would feel. She was forced to come to Jesus, but when she came into His presence, even though she had known many men, she had never encountered a man like this before. How is it with you? Do you remember your first encounter with Jesus? Was it like Mary's? Did you see in His eyes, in His countenance, the kindness, gentleness, wisdom, dignity, and compassion that she saw? And it was there that she collapsed and trembled at His feet. After Jesus didn't condemn her, she thanked Him with tears and appreciation. Do we take the time to thank Jesus with our tears and appreciation for all that He has done for us and continues to do each day by turning from sin? As daughters and sons of God, do we show Jesus our thankfulness and our love for Him by how we spend each day? Or do we waste time each day in doing other things that we would maybe rather to do than to spend it at His feet? I often pray, dear Lord, please help me to be more efficient with my time. I know I'm doing Your work, but I'm going to do more. And there just doesn't seem like there's enough hours in the day. It just flies by. I want to be so efficient with His time, because time is very important to God. And how we spend our time is very important that we will be held accountable for. So please ask yourself, how are you spending each day? Are you sitting at His feet? If we were sitting at His feet, well, we would be like Mary. When Jesus didn't condemn her, what did she do? She ran out and she told her brother and sister about the one who was in the temple. And before long, he was invited to come to their home. Please turn with me now to Luke chapter 10, which was our scripture. Verses 38 through 42. And the word says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus had frequently stayed at the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, and Martha was often cumbered with the cares of daily duties. She got caught up in providing beautiful food and setting up for friends and family. And while Martha, she sought the words of Jesus instead. Both things are needed, amen? But Mary chose the one that was needed most. Jesus had often found rest that his weary human nature required at the house of Lazarus in Bethany. His first visit there was when he and his disciples were weary from toilsome journey on foot from Jericho to Jerusalem. They tarried as guests at the quiet home of Lazarus and were ministered unto by his sisters Martha and Mary. This is from Daughters of God, page 57. Notwithstanding the fatigue of Jesus, he continued the instructions which he had been giving his disciples on the road in reference to the qualifications necessary to fit men for the kingdom of heaven. And the peace of Christ rested upon the home of the brothers and sisters. Does Jesus' peace rest upon our homes? I pray so. Martha had been all anxiety to provide for the comfort of her guests. But Mary was charmed by the words of Jesus to his disciples, and seeing a golden opportunity to become better acquainted with the doctrines of Christ, quietly entered the room where he was sitting, and taking her place at the feet of Jesus, drank in eagerly every word that fell from his lips. As Christ gave his wonderful lessons, Mary sat at his feet, a reverent and devoted listener. On one occasion, Martha, perplexed with the care of preparing the meal, went to Christ saying, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, to help me. And this was the time of Christ's first visit to Bethany. The Savior and his disciples had made the toilsome journey on foot, and Martha was anxious to provide for their comfort, and in their anxiety, she forgot the courtesy due to her guest. Jesus answered her with mild and patient words and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was storing her mind with the precious words falling from the Savior's lips, words that were more precious to her than earth's most costly jewels. You see, Mary chose what was best. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. Or 1 to 13, excuse me. Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And so as we look at some commentary from Ellen White, we see that Simon was the one who had actually led Mary into sin. It was his fault. He was her uncle, and he had been healed of leprosy. And it was this healing that Jesus had done to Simon that he wanted to show this gratitude of having this feast. It was Christ's last visit to Bethany, and he made the feast for the Savior and his disciples. At the table, the Savior sat with Simon on one side and Lazarus on the other. Martha served at the table, but Mary was earnestly listening to every word from the lips of Jesus. In his mercy, Jesus had pardoned her sins. He had called forth her beloved brother from the grave, and Mary's heart was filled with gratitude and love. She had heard Jesus speak of his approaching death, and in her deep sorrow and love for him, she longed to show him honor. At great personal sacrifice, she had purchased an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very costly, with which to anoint his body. But now many were declaring that he was about to be crowned king. Her grief was turned to joy, and she was eager to be first in honoring her Lord. Breaking her box of ointment, she poured its contents upon the head and feet of Jesus. Then as she knelt, weeping, moistening them with her tears, she wiped his feet with her long, flowing hair. What gratitude, what devotion, what love she had, amen, for the Savior. We desperately need this kind of gratitude, this kind of love, this kind of devotion for Jesus. We must have this kind of experience with him if we are ever going to make it home to live with him forever. And the only way that we will ever experience this kind of love for him is to take time daily to sit at his feet, to wait at his feet, to weep at his feet, to rejoice at his feet, to worship at his feet. Then we will have the power and the love and the strength that we need to be the men and women that he has called us to be. We will only then have the desire in our hearts, because we will be filled with the love of Jesus and our love for him, that we will have the desire to go out and share that love with this dying world. If we do not have that love for the salvation of souls, then we don't love Jesus enough. My brothers and sisters, we don't have that much more time. We know we're supposed to do Bible study. We know we're supposed to study the Word every day. We know we're supposed to pray. But how much time do we really spend getting to know Jesus for who he is? He is the one that loves us the most. He is the one that we should receive the most of our time, the most of our praise, the most of our respect. We should honor him the most. This is what we need. As we continue to look on into Mary's story, we can find her in John chapter 20, worshiping at Jesus' feet. We can see that Jesus had already been crucified, and she had shown up early that Sunday morning at the tomb. She was planning to anoint his body with the ointments and the spices that were prepared on that Friday night. But as she approached the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away. And she couldn't understand what happened. What happened? Where did he go? As she looked inside, and the tomb was empty. This was after she had run to tell Peter and John that Jesus was not in the tomb. And so after they had left, and she peers into the tomb, she sees two angels in there. Now, it's interesting to me that the angels wait until Mary's alone. You see, Mary had this love for Jesus that not even her disciples had. Why? Because she had been forgiven much. So she loved much. The more that we have been forgiven, the more that we love. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, know that Jesus wants to forgive us of all of our sins. We need to bring all of our sins to Jesus' feet. Because then and only then will we love him more. We will have that experience of Mary. How precious to think that when she looked into that tomb, that then there were the two angels sitting there. And she started to think, well, there's hope. Maybe I can find his body. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? She replied, because they took my Lord away. They took away the one that I loved the most. I need to find my Lord. I will take his body if you just show me where it's been laid. And as she turned around, she saw Jesus, but she did not know that it was him. And he said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She said to him, sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him. And Jesus said to her then, Mary. When he spoke her name, something in his voice when he said her name, her eyes were opened and she knew it was him. What does she do? She instantly falls at his feet and grabs onto him and clings onto him and does not let him go. And he said, Mary, Mary, quit clinging to me. I have not yet ascended unto my Father. This is the kind of love we need for Jesus. This is the kind of love we need for him, to cling to him and not let him go, no matter what. It's the only thing that will get us through the time of the end. We must cling to Jesus now if we're going to get through then. If we don't have that relationship like Mary did now, or very soon, because we start today to hunger and thirst for a relationship with Jesus like that. We cannot wait until the Sunday law passes or until we're being persecuted. It'll be too late. Then we will want to, oh, Jesus, Jesus, and it'll be too late. I pray for each one of you that's here today that you do not let it be you that waits. Because Jesus is calling today. Have you ever thought about what it be like for Jesus, who after all of these years, thousands of years, what has his one desire been? What has his one desire been? It's to dwell with his people. He has been waiting thousands of years to dwell with us, to be with us as one, face to face. How sad it must make him when we think something else is more important in our lives than him. And daily, my friends, daily, we are deciding our destiny. We are deciding daily if we are choosing Jesus or if we are choosing the world. Now, some of the things that we're doing, they might not seem that bad. There might not really be anything bad with them. But if we're spending more time with whatever it is than we are spending with Jesus, then we are not coming to his feet each day and giving him first place in our lives. He must be first in our lives. So you can imagine the joy that Mary experienced when she realized that it was Jesus. He was there before her. Amazing. I pray that we wait at his feet, weep at his feet, rejoice at his feet, love at his feet, worship at his feet, live at his feet as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if we are to be saved, we must humbly come to the feet of Jesus every day and pray the prayer of Psalms 51:10, where David cries out and says, "Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Take time each day to ponder the life of Christ, because it's when we are beholding him that we become changed, that we will have his character, have his likeness. We all need his character, amen? Just think if we do this, what the atmosphere of our homes will be like, my friends. If Jesus is living in our hearts and we are daily sitting at his feet, our homes will be a little piece of heaven on earth, a place where we can grow together in Christ. Isn't this what a home is to be? A place where angels will live to dwell, a place that is safe, where we can develop true love, compassion, and courtesy for each other. The sweetest type of heaven is a home where the Spirit of the Lord presides. If the will of God is fulfilled, the husband and wife will respect each other and cultivate love and confidence. That's from Adventist Home, page 15. And if a husband and wife have this type of relationship with Jesus, just think what it will do for the children. It will change their whole life. They will see the love of Jesus emanating from their parents for each other, for Christ, and it will have a wonderful, powerful effect on them. They will want to love Jesus too. They will want to have a life with Jesus too. And they will stay close to Jesus. As we daily sit at the feet of Jesus is when we develop an intimate personal relationship with him. And the God of peace will sanctify us completely. He will purify us, cleanse us from all sin, and make us holy and fit us to live in his holy city with him. Can you wait for that day? To live in the holy city? Jeremiah 24, verse 7 says, "Then I will give them a new heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart." Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. He does not want to let us go. He will do everything that he can to save us. But if we do not choose him, what more can he do? He is still holding on today, my brother and sister. He keeps holding on. A few years ago, in the state of Florida, it was a hot summer day. And this young boy, he decided that he was going to go swimming because it was so hot, and this swimming pond behind his house. So he takes off running out of the back door with his shorts on, and he's running as fast as he can to get to that swimming hole, and he jumps and dives in, and he starts swimming out toward the middle of the pond. He does not realize and does not see that in the middle of the pond, there is a big alligator that begins to swim back towards the shore. His mother was looking out the kitchen window, watching the whole thing. And when she realized what was happening, that the alligator was coming towards her son, she frantically runs out the door and starts screaming and hollering for her son. Return to the shore, return to the shore. Come to mom, come to mommy. And he heard her voice. And he knew something must be wrong, even though he couldn't see anything. He heard her voice, and he felt that it was such a panic that he must return to the shore. So he began to, he turned around and he began swimming as fast as he could to the shore. When he was about ready to come back to the shore, she was actually standing on the dock. And he got to her feet. And just as he was at her feet, she grabs hold of his hands, begins to pull him out of the water. And just as she's lifting him out of the water, the alligator snatches and grabs his feet, grabs hold of his legs. And at that moment, there was a tug of war like had never been happening before in their lives. The fight was on. The alligator pulled, and she pulled, and she was screaming and hollering, and she would not let her son go. She was praying and hoping and fighting. And there came a farmer that was driving by in his truck, and he heard the screams, and he heard the hollers, and he jumped out of his truck, and he saw the alligator hanging onto this boy, trying to pull the boy back into the water, and the mom struggling for the boy's life. And he happened to have a gun, and he went and he got his gun and he shot the alligator. Praise God. After many weeks of recovering in the hospital, the precious little boy did survive. But when he recovered, he was interviewed by the newspaper. And as the reporter came in and interviewed him, the reporter asked the little boy, "Well, let's see your scars." And the boy proudly, he lifts up his legs, and his poor little legs are all scarred up. And the reporter's like, "Wow, those are just some terrible, terrible scars." But then the boy says, "Oh, no, that's nothing." He says, "Look at the scars on my arms. These are the scars from my mother who dug her nails in so deeply into my arms because she was fighting for my life and she would not let me go." We can all relate to that little boy, amen? We all have scars from our past. But some wounds that we have are because Jesus would not let us go. No matter what struggles we have gone through or are going through, Jesus has been holding on to you. And he's been holding on to me. Sometimes, like Mary, we may have waded foolishly into the swimming hole of life and forgot that our enemy was waiting to attack us. That's when the tug of war began. If you have the scars of his love on your arms, be grateful. He has not let you go. He longs for you to experience his beauty, to fall in love with him so that he can take us on the greatest adventure of our lives. He will place upon us his royal crown on our heads and claim us as his bride. He will carry us far away to a magnificent, glorious place beyond our wildest dreams that has the most amazing, spectacular castle in it to live happily ever after. If you truly want to experience the beauty, intimacy, and adventure that God has in store for you, the very best place in the world that you can be is at the feet of Jesus Christ.
For mankind to see, so many miraculous wonders of nature. The one resembling paradise is where a sinner kneels down to pray at the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and there is healing in His presence. He's the way, the truth, and life. In His grace I find the true source of an everlasting life. For the best place in the world is at the feet of Jesus Christ. We dream of success, we crave for more comfort. We long for a life of ease and delight. If anything but Christ is in control of our lives, when I feel God's endless power, and when His peace reigns in my soul, source of an everlasting. best place in the world is at the feet of Jesus Christ. There's no better place in this world than at the feet of Jesus Christ. In His grace I find the true source of an everlasting life. For the best place in the world is at the feet of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Oh.
Holy Father, we just thank you for giving us another day of life. We thank you for the blessing of the Sabbath. We ask that you will continue to abide in us, that when we leave this place, your Spirit will continue to dwell in us because we have not left your Spirit. Lord, change us, recreate in us a new heart, and may your angels that excel in strength surround about us as we go out from here. Lord, thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.